Jesus' final charge to his disciples was to go and make disciples of all nations. And yet, many Christians today struggle to understand what this means for them, and many churches find it difficult to, quote, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. For the past 15 years, our friends at Downline Ministries have partnered with local churches by equipping men and women to know God's word and to make disciples in the context of their homes, their churches, and their communities. They do this through the Downline Institute, a 9-month training program where students are taught Genesis to Revelation, biblical manhood, womanhood, and practical discipleship training. If you long for a greater knowledge of God's word, a clearer vision for making disciples, and a strengthening of biblical discipleship in your church, check out the Downline Institute's in-person and virtual training options. Downline is offering our listeners $100 off the tuition cost. Just use the code LIFEWAY when you apply at downlineministries.com.
LifeWay Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Group Answers Podcast, a weekly show designed to resource, train, and encourage small group leaders. Each episode considers current trends and resources, as well as timeless truths and methods of discipleship. It's hosted by Brian Daniel and Chris Surratt. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the Group Answers Podcast Show. I'm Brian Daniel with Chris Surratt on this early summer, not summer quite yet, afternoon. Chris?
I know we've discussed this before. What is the official first day of summer? Because it feels like it should be Memorial Day, which we just passed. We're recording on like June 2nd or something like that. So is there because it feels like spring is not the right day. The official start of spring. So what is the official day of summer?
I believe the word is solstice, and I believe that is June 21st officially. But once Memorial Day gets here, Chris, who are we kidding? It's summertime.
It's summertime.
Hot dogs and hamburgers over the weekend. So we're ready to roll.
You know what's great is 2021, I think we're actually going to have a summer. It felt like 2020, we just skipped through summer. It felt just like spring and fall and winter, and we didn't leave our houses. And this year, we're going to enjoy it. We're going to be outside. We're going to go to the swimming pool. We're going to gather together with small groups. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I shouldn't have laughed at that, because last summer was a sad time. If you remember, I mean, I had friends that had basically COVID clothes, and they would go out, and when they would come back in, they would pull into the garage, they would take their COVID clothes off, leave them in the garage, and put their safe clothes on before they went into the house. That was a year ago. That was happening.
I remember I started going back to the gym because they reopened like in June or something like that. And so I started going back, but was careful and sprayed things down. But every time I would get home, my family would go take off your COVID clothes. I had to go change out of the COVID clothes. Yeah. So it's a new day. It's a new day, Brian.
Well, our guest today, Tim Cosby, is coming to us, well, Zooming with us in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Tim, welcome to the show. And is it spring or summer in Michigan right now?
Yeah.
I think that's the question we all want to have the answer to.
Yeah, we definitely have to wait till June 21st up here. But we've had a few nice days. Memorial Day weekend was really good. So it's nice up here today.
That's great. Let me give Tim an introduction for our listeners. But he's a former pastor and college chaplain, co-author of the book Coaching-Based Ministry, which is what we'll talk a lot about, co-founder of the Coaching-Based Ministry model. After years of seeing what works and what doesn't work when it comes to motivating others to change, Tim helped develop a groundbreaking new model to help leaders bring about spiritual transformation, personal development, and leader development. So I'm super excited because we have talked about coaching a lot on this podcast. I know that coaching is important, and with small group leaders, having somebody that can guide you, that can walk alongside you is so vital, but there are so few churches that have really figured out how to do it in coaches, you know, how to do coaching. So I would love to hear, first of all, Tim, how did the coaching-based ministry get started?
Well, I was serving as a pastor in a church just north of Grand Rapids here. I'd been there for about 13 years. And I actually felt like God was He was calling me into something new. I wasn't really sure what it was. It ended up being coaching, but at the time I wasn't really sure that that's what it was going to be. So it really got started, I think, in obedience to the Lord. And it was a really difficult move because I was really happy where I was at, and nobody wanted me to leave, and I could have retired there and all that kind of stuff. But I was really following God, and he asked me this question. He said, "Tim, will you trust me now?" And I had to answer yes. It's like, well, I've been preaching this for 35 years that you can trust God. So what am I going to say? So I started out coaching and hired a business coach, and he turned out to be my co-founder of Empowerment Coaching Network, which is the large organization that coaching-based ministry is a part of. And I think for both of us, we'd both come out of, I'd been in local church ministry. He had been in a Christian nonprofit. I'd been at Cornerstone University chaplain for about 10 years. And we were both really interested in life transformation. Discipling people. I've been discipling guys my whole life, you know. And once we started into the coaching journey, we both realized that coaching was the most effective process for guiding spiritual transformation, personal growth, leadership development. It kind of blew me away. And I've been through seminary and Bible college and a lot of training and everything, but I'd never learned how to coach. And so that's really how it got started. Mike and I were both professional coaches. And then we said one day, hey, this is really what we needed when we were back in local church ministry or Christian nonprofit, because, everybody wants life transformation. But you can't just tell people what to do in order to get that. So coaching just provides a different process.
So a lot of times, Tim, when we are developing concepts and launching new resources and considering new ideas, we think in terms of the problem that we are trying to solve. And I know one of the mantras that I've learned that I've learned is be obsessed with the problem, not the solution. I think I picked that up in some book that I read. But in terms of the problem that coaching-based ministry is trying to solve, how would you identify that? And how have you guys identified that?
Yeah. That's a really great question, Brian. I think it's different for different roles. I think for the pastor, one of the problems that it's solving is that it's helping to take the weight off of their shoulders, his or her shoulders, because pastors feel really responsible for helping people to change. And sometimes I think they take maybe too much responsibility, and it begins to be a really weighty thing to help people change because I think they just take too big of a role in it. So I think for the pastor, it provides kind of a load off of their shoulders. I think what it does for Christian leaders, lay leaders, whatever you want to call them in a local church, I think it just gives them a very easy way to basically have any kind of conversation with anybody at any time about anything and actually help that person grow. So there's a lot of models out there. It's like, you know, this is how you can grow. But I think as far as I'm concerned, as a leader is concerned, I want to help people take full responsibility for their spiritual journey. And you can't do that by just telling them what to do. So I think it gives Christian leaders a process that really results in, I think, sustained life transformation. That's a long answer to your question there, Brian.
No, thanks.
One of the questions or complaints that I hear a lot from churches or small group point people that are trying to implement a coaching system is that their leaders won't respond. They don't want coaches. They're just unresponsive to coaching. So my question to you, Tim, is why do we resist coaching? And then how do we get past that? How do we get our leaders to accept that they need somebody coaching them in their life?
Wow. What a great question. I think if I really knew the answer to that, I'd be a rich man. Because that's really been kind of a conundrum, I think, for us too. I think having served as a pastor for most of my career and as a chaplain and, seminary and knowing a lot of pastors, I think the way we were trained was to be experts. We were trained to solve people's problems. We were trained to fix things. And we, I think, unintentionally, when we get into those roles, you have to admit, it feels pretty good when people come to you and they say, Brian, what should I do with this? Brian, Chris, what should I do with this? And it feels pretty good to be able to give them an answer that solves their problem. And so I think a lot of pastors, and I don't mean for this to be judgmental, because I would put myself in this group. I think we really like being the kind of the gatekeepers and the answer givers and the problem solvers, especially in a local church. And I think the second reason is because we haven't been trained in what coaching is. I think a lot of pastors think they know what coaching is. I'd say probably 99% of the leaders that I meet on a daily basis think they know what coaching is and they think they're using it, but they're not. So I think that's a big block because we've trained a lot of pastors. And once they go through the training, they say, oh, well, this is different than I thought it was going to be. This is not what I thought it was. And this is really good. This is different.
So what makes it different? What's different about this system than other coaching systems?
Yeah. Well, I think coaching in general focuses on asking questions and listening and helping people come up with their own solutions. And so I don't know that our coaching training is any different than other coaching training companies out there. I wouldn't say that. I would just say that, you said there in the beginning that a lot of churches just, they haven't let this in yet. And I think it's because, I don't know, it's just going to take some time. And, it's in the business community and we spend most of our time, training managers how to coach in corporations because they see kind of the bottom line. I think churches and Christian organizations, a little bit harder to see that return on investment, maybe. I don't know. That's probably not a very good answer, but that's where I'm at right now.
So Chris, you're in and out of churches and you're in and out of a lot of conversations with leaders. So it would be a question maybe to both of you guys, but in terms of coaching, what is the resistance on this? And, yeah, I guess I would just leave the question there. I mean, how would you describe, because it is different. And I think when we think in terms of leadership, just historically, it's a lot more of a top down. And Tim, that's quite a bit different than what you're describing. But it seems like there would be a greater openness to this kind of thing. Is it just the novelty of it? Is it that it's a little bit hard to articulate the differences when you've got such an entrenched historical, almost doctrinal approach to leadership? How would you guys respond to that?
I would say some of it, and see, Tim, if you agree with this, is actually the word coaching. And I've heard that before, because when we think a lot of times of a coach, we think of somebody who tells people what to do. Like you talked about, Tim, we are resistant to that. So if you think of a baseball coach, they tell the player where to play, how to play, which play to, you know, if you're a football coach, which play to run. And so I think there's just a natural instinct with most leaders of I know how to do this, especially if they've been a small group leader for a while. I don't need someone to tell me what to do. And so I think sometimes it's just that word coach that's almost a barrier. Have you seen that, Tim?
Yeah, I would totally agree. And, you know, actually the concept of coaching came out of the 15th century, and it was a literal coach pulled by a horse. And it would meet a person where they were, and it would take them to where they wanted to go. Well, that's what coaching is. And that term got hijacked, in the 20th century, maybe the 19th century. And it came to be kind of associated with athletic coaching. And people knew a lot of athletic coaches that, you know, like you said, Chris, they just tell you what to do. And, you know, they throw chairs across the basketball stadium floor or whatever. And people, they just kind of stop right there and they go, well, if that's what coaching is, I don't really want that. So as I was thinking, as you were asking that question, Brian, I was thinking back. I mean, we've been training leaders now for about 11 years. We've trained, you know, almost 3,000 leaders. Probably maybe 300 of those were pastors. And I'm trying to think of a pastor that has gone through our training that has told me that he didn't or she didn't feel like it was very useful. I can't think of any. So that tells me that people need to experience this. And once they experience what this really is, then I think they're more open to it.
So what kind of challenges do you feel like this type of coaching could help specifically a small group leader? What are some of the obstacles that you see that leaders have that this coaching can really bring a solution to, or maybe a different perspective to?
Yeah. That's a good question. I was a small groups pastor for a number of years, and I know that, just trying to get small group leaders, just trying to recruit leaders is pretty challenging in churches because people have all sorts of excuses. And one of the biggest excuses that I heard, and I don't know how this has changed now for you guys, but one of the big excuses that I heard was that people were just afraid to do it because they didn't know enough. They hadn't had the biblical training, you know, they hadn't been to seminary or Bible college, and they just didn't know enough. And they were afraid of being asked a question in a small group setting where they didn't know the answer, and they would be very embarrassed. So I think what coaching does is it would help small group leaders to realize that they don't have to have all the answers. They need to know how to listen well, how to ask good open-ended questions, and help people come up with their own solutions to their situations. So I think that would help small group leaders as they're recruiting leaders. The other part of your question there makes me think of somebody who's actually leading a small group. And I think there are a lot of small group leaders that feel like it's their job to talk. And they don't understand the power of asking questions and listening and guiding and facilitating a group. And they feel like they have to talk and tell. And so coaching would help them kind of change that approach to more of a facilitation approach where they're asking good questions and they're getting good interaction from the group and they're listening and they're not interrupting. And I think it would just help them to be a better small group leader.
So I was a high school athlete, weren't we all? I was not a collegiate athlete, but I was a varsity football and wrestling coach for Season of Life. Chris, I don't know if you knew that or not.
I thought you were going to talk about how you were the center of the basketball team. Cause I mean, you're like 6'8". Maybe not. I mean, you sound taller on radio.
Yeah. So I'm not 6'8", just for the record. But in terms of moving, like a coach moving someone along a given continuum, that is a very much an oversimplified, I think, understanding of coach. I think most of us would agree. My experience is this is someone who is joining you on the journey that has a bit of a mentor relationship. It presumably is someone that has done what you're being asked to do before. And coaches have a minimal skill set that is above average. Otherwise, they wouldn't be coaching. Now, like Chris, you mentioned baseball. My understanding is there's a lot of baseball coaches, like hitting instructors, that understand how to hit better than they were able to hit themselves because they just didn't have the physical tools in the toolbox to do it themselves, but they know how. So with that in mind and understanding coaches, it seems like that to have a coach come alongside you as a small group leader would be nothing but affirming to know someone has got your back, someone that you can, Tim, kind of like what you're getting to, someone that can, if I run into a challenge of some kind that I don't know what to do, this is someone that I can go to. So it just, this seems like it would be an easier sell than what it is what I'm getting at. And yeah. So when you're talking about the common challenges, things that we talk a lot about on the show are like planning and choosing a Bible study, how to manage a group, how to manage a prayer time, how to keep a dynamic environment in place to where like the third meeting of any given month, or if it's a fifth meeting of a month, then you do something social. How to incorporate missionality into group life, how to keep life in group life, when to multiply, how to groom leaders and develop leaders and those kinds of things. So all that's to say is when you are looking at the coaching-based ministry, I would assume that you keep all of those things in mind, right? As you interact and as you train yourself and in the ministry.
Yeah. I think those things that you described are like tasks, tools perhaps of a small group leader, and things that they just need to do with a small group. I look at coaching as the operating system.
Yeah.
For a small group leader. And you mentioned earlier having a coach come alongside a small group leader, which I think would be wonderful. We're kind of going in saying we think that small group leaders need to learn how to coach, and we can teach them how to coach in a relatively short amount of time. So it's not so much me coming in to coach you as it is me training you how to coach and how to use a coaching approach, which is really, I think, an operating system for discipleship, for spiritual development, because it just comes at everything differently. It comes at things with questions, not answers, and it comes at things with listening. And so you enter with your ears first, kind of a thing. And that's where I think church leaders, small group leaders, any leader would benefit from learning how to coach. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you're hitting on one of the major pain points for churches is recruiting coaches for leaders. So from your perspective, what type of a leader or personality type makes the best kind of coach?
Wow, what a great question. I think personally, anybody can learn how to coach. I mean, we've trained almost 3,000 people. All different kinds of personality profiles and everything else. I think it's sometimes hard for, let's say, in a DISC, a high D person. I think it's sometimes hard for them to use a coaching approach because they think they already know the answer and they want to give advice and that kind of a thing. So I think some of the personality types it might be a little bit easier for some of the other personality types, but I think we can train anybody to coach, and it's really more about the mindset I think a coach just needs a completely different kind of mindset than what I grew up with.
It sounds like to me you're almost describing a context that effective coaching and this base ministry, the coaching base ministry that you've got, goes a long way in creating a context for effective group ministry. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful word, Brian, because I think it does. I mean, we call it a culture, but you know, it's. I think we're talking about the same things here. Yeah.
So how do you learn, how somebody listening, how do they learn more about this? Where do they go? What kind of resources do you have?
Yeah, it's really pretty simple. If you go to coachingbasedministry.com, there's some resources on that site. You can get in contact with us. We do test drive trainings. And this kind of goes back to an earlier comment that you guys made of one of the challenges of getting coaching into the church is that most leaders just haven't experienced it. And so over the last 11 years, we found that if leaders actually can experience this and the paradigm shift that takes place, that then they're open to it. So we're just doing what we call test drives. And, a church could call us or an organization could call us and we would set up a test drive for, you know, leaders from your church. It's 4.5 hours and you just kind of get a taste of the core coaching skills and process. And then you start to understand how this could be valuable in your ministry.
Well, Tim, I would just say thanks for making time to be with us today. I know you've got a lot going on, and appreciate your heart and the work that you put into coaching. I think this is a valuable tool for churches and church leaders out there, and small group leaders.
Good, yep. Thanks, Brian and Chris. Really been a privilege to meet you guys.
I was going to wrap it up for this episode of the Group Answers podcast. That's Brian Daniel and Chris Surratt with Tim Cosby all the way from Grand Rapids, Michigan, where it will not be summer until June 21st. If you want to find out more about Tim and the ministry, you can probably Google Tim Cosby and Coaching Based Ministry. Thanks again for being with us. We would, as always, encourage you to give us a rating, to leave a comment, and just subscribe to us. That way the show hits your inbox and you don't even have to look for it, right, Chris?
Yep.
You don't have to search anymore.
You don't have to search for it. You don't have to Google anything. It just shows up.
Anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Anywhere, yep.
Thanks for being with us, and we will catch you again on down the road.